I have to thank David for bringing sunshine into the room, but I'm a good conservative, so I'll bring clouds and see what you prefer. I'm going to emphasize not the inevitability of American exceptionalism, but the contingent nature of it. And in so doing, I hope to give the colonial experience its due and to ask the question of how people and nations are formed. I begin with my governing claim or assumption, so you can decide at the beginning whether you want to agree with me or listen any further or not. And it runs this way. Only people who have a culture and who have habits of self-rule, have a jealous regard for their liberties, can live well with equality. Equality, absent the right supporting civilization, leads to tyranny. But first, it leads to historic amnesia, and in due course, to what Ortega called mass man. Why do some people, like Obama and others, insist that we are not exceptional? I would argue it's a belief of inequality that leads them to this conclusion. According to Tocqueville, the logic of equality, normally understood, is to make everything the same, equal and alike. For those who emphasize this notion of equality without wedding it to the story or to some strong desire for liberty, they must be against the very idea of exceptionalism. Exceptionalism is an obstacle to equality. So in some ways, while equality may be part of our answer, it's also part of our problem. There are two versions of exceptionalism that I won't address here, at least not directly. One is providential. I have nothing to say. The second is natural rights, not because it's wrong, but because it's inadequate. So in order to find a different way of understanding, an historic way of understanding how we're exceptional and therefore whether we remain exceptional, we have to ask in some ways, who are we and how are we formed? When Tocqueville came, what did he see in the 1830s? He came to see, as he put it, the future. America, he said, was the future. And if you read it carefully, he claims that America was both exceptional and universal. How could they be both? In one sense, they were universal because it's the first nation founded upon what he thought was the inevitable social foundation for all orders to come, equality of conditions. And so if he wants to know what equality of conditions will create in society, he comes to America to see. And yet it's exceptional because they have wedded equality with liberty or freedom. How did we get that? To what degree is it tied, as Gordon asked before, to our colonial experience? It is a truism, but nonetheless needs to be said, that America is clearly a part of Western civilization. We share this with Europe. And yet we're unlike Europe in the most important respects. Even though we share this with Europe, we cannot provide a definition for American identity and who we are without an understanding of our heritage that comes from Europe and all the way back to Israel. Nonetheless, despite this is a necessary condition for understanding who we are, it is not a sufficient. We are not simply a part of Western tradition. We have, in fact, created an American civilization as a separate branch of Western civilization, and I think in the long run, perhaps one that's incompatible with Western civilization as presently expressed in Europe. We are also cultural descendants of English settlers, not immigrants, but settlers, and I take Huntington's distinction to be an important one. The ones who first came brought to them a variety of folk ways, transplanted them to America by settlers who established their own folkways in the context of a new environment, and thus established the patterns that later immigrants would come and mold themselves to and become and accept. These folkways would persist, and importantly, with many regional differences, a great deal of variety in America. We were also, in some important respects, descendants of dissenting Protestants, who brought with them a subset of English ideas and traditions So we're not simply English. We're largely a product of a variety of specific English folkways and beliefs and ideals that are given free rein to develop in new ways in America. We're also a product, of course, of our early experiences of individualism because of the context of the new world in which they settled, but also of voluntarism and, most important, of the requirement that we govern ourselves, particularly at the local level. Our folkways, of course, encounter geography, and the geography is rather significant in the development of a distinctive and historically rooted American culture. American experiences of Englishmen changed them. As Burke put it, Americans form a whole different species of Englishmen. They found, of course, a certain kind of equality in the absence of classes that could persist. They were deeply local, so that self-rule developed in the context of local rule, which I think is an important part to what would follow. And they also, as a result of this local self-rule, developed a jealous regard for the right to govern locally, what Tocqueville called the love of their native country. Because they govern themselves, and because they govern themselves in different ways, each town and each community and even each state or colony develops its own distinctive characteristics. And because you participate in that, in fact, you can actually see in some ways your handiwork in the production of that distinctive identity of your town or county or state. You have a strong sense of participation in what is yours, and you love it because it is yours, because it's distinct and not like others. And then, of course, we have a self-conscious founding, a founding that required conservation and innovation at the same time. It required diverse states with very distinctive folkways to engage in an extended conversation, a conversation influenced by a variety of ideas, traditions, and by local experiences. They had to explain who they were together, and they had to draw from their own resources to do that. And it was an open-ended conversation about what this new nation would be, a conversation that has continued. They created something close to a creed. Not quite, but close to. Don't ask me to offer the distinction there. I just like it because I don't know what it means. I think some of the rest of it could offer distinctions that are more useful. However, by the time we finish nation building, I don't think there can be any question that we're in one or another definition of exceptional. We were an exceptional nation. We were the first in so many ways, the first to break from colonial rule, the first to establish our own understanding of how we will rule ourselves through constitutions, the first to seek various ways of limiting our own power, and so forth, all the things that we're so familiar with. We also, in very early period of our nation, answered the question that some ask of whether we are capable of self-rule or not. We also developed an utterly distinctive variety of Western civilization. We produced or recognized, whichever you choose, ideas that are worth defending, worth dying for. And we balanced heritage, which is something handed down, with a very forward-looking society. And since the founding, certain patterns have persisted. The persistence, for instance, of religious communities, which make people focus on something larger than themselves. Religious communities that focus on devoting ourselves to principles that are not human-created. They also have us focus on a voluntary devotion to ideals of right, to obligation to communities. We have also had a healthy suspicion that government is the great threat to liberty. I know it wanes. I know it's not as strong sometimes. And yet it's persisted. We still have this suspicion. And we have something else that sometimes wanes, but still there, an ongoing localism and regionalism that gives people participation something real, something tangible, and something that reinforces the love of self-rule. I conclude, therefore, with this observation as to whether we are still exceptional or whether we are about to lose. As I suggested at the beginning, this is contingent. We are exceptional. I do not accept the claim that we are necessarily always going to be exceptional. By having something like a creed, we do participate in the founding. We're always re-articulating its ideals. We may have become all Federalists and all anti-Federalists in the Jeffersonian image, which is to say American, but the conversation continues. Given the definition of our exceptionalism that I provided, we will know if it is lost, if the desire for equality becomes stronger than desire for self-rule. We will also know that we are no longer exceptional if we are not willing to sacrifice ourselves in the service of our heritage and our ideals. Thank you.